You know, we need to live in the covenant that we're in. Amen. And realize that we're children of God. Realize that we're forgiven. We're not living in the types and the shadows. We're living in the reality.
Amen.
Thank God that we're not living with the blood of animals. We're living washed and cleansed in the blood of Jesus. Amen. If the blood of animals had a power to it, how much more the blood of Jesus? Yeah. If the blood of animals could cover sin, how much more can the blood of Jesus forgive your sin, past, present, and even future tense?
Yeah.
It's powerful. Your sins and iniquities he will remember no more. That's the new covenant. You know, when you read in Hebrews chapter 11 and you read about the heroes of faith, you think you're reading two different, Bibles in one sense. Like you're reading Hebrews chapter 11 and then you read their lives and it doesn't add up.
Yeah.
Because when you read their lives, you see all of their failures, all of their mistakes, everything. Then you read in Hebrews chapter 11, it just tells you what they've done by faith.
Yeah.
Amen. And I tell you, for all of us, you know what? You don't have to be perfect to serve God. We serve a perfect God.
Amen.
It's not about being perfect. You know, a lot of people are looking for perfection in themselves. And the reality of it is when you got saved, Jesus became your perfection.
Yeah.
You're not perfect in yourself. You're made a new creature in Christ Jesus. That part of you is perfected because that's the part of you that's in Christ.
Yeah.
And so when you're saved, you become a new creature in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
I often say, as a Christian, you don't start at the start, you start at the finish.
Yeah.
When you made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, you were made a new creature in Christ Jesus. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Your mind is catching up with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your mind is catching up with what took place. It's about finding out now who you are in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
But I want you to know that none of us are perfect in our mind and none of us are perfect in our body.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? That means we're imperfect. And we're all at different levels of imperfection. And yet thank God for the grace of God.
Amen.
Thank God that we have the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Yeah.
Thank God that you're not a half new creature. You're a full new creature. Amen. Thank God that not half your sins are forgiven. All your sins are forgiven.
Yeah.
Thank God on the inside of you that you're righteous and blameless. Just like Jesus, because you have his righteousness on the inside of you. That's not a progression, that's a finished work.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. So we're not progressing into righteousness. We're not progressing into sanctification when it comes to our spirit. Our spirit is righteous. Our spirit is blameless. Oh, if we could just see ourselves in Christ, it would change everything.
Yeah.
So there's a work that has taken place. In other words, we are saved.
Yeah.
But the part of us that's saved is our spirit. Amen.
Yeah.
We're also being saved. That's our mind. And one day we will be totally saved, spirit, soul, and body, when we get a new body. And what it's shown is you start, like, you don't start back here and I have to work my way to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. You start at the finish. You are a new creature. But with your mind, it's a process.
Yeah.
Amen. So I'll let you know that outwardly, there's going to be inadequacies. There's going to be failures. You're not going to get it right 100%. Amen. And so you have to be able to filter the blood of Jesus, as in have your conscience sprinkled with the blood of Jesus. What that means is that you are aware of what Jesus done for you so that you don't live with sin on your conscience.
Yeah.
So that you live free, even though you are in a progression of change outwardly. You have to still know what Jesus has done for you so that you live from the finished work.
Yeah.
So that you live with the awareness that I am forgiven.
Yeah.
So you read Hebrews chapter 11 and you see imperfect people. But you see that they walked with a perfect God.
Yeah.
Now we've something greater than even those in the Old Testament because we are saved. We live in the reality of that. Amen.
Yeah.
But I want to talk for a bit on Peter this morning, because Peter is a guy that I love in the Word of God, because Peter was imperfect. I can relate to him. And I'm sure we all can relate to Peter. You know, many do stupid things. Sometimes daily, sometimes hourly. none of us are there. Paul said, I'm getting a hold of what got a hold of me. Paul said, I haven't arrived, but I'm not stagnant. You see, that's the key. You see, process means you're going forward. There's a process. There's progression. That doesn't mean to say that you don't miss it, or you don't, you know what, sometimes you feel like you're going forward and then, you know what, you do something stupid. But you get back up and you go again. In other words, you know, you fall forward. If you miss it, don't fall back. Fall forward. Fall forward. Get up and go again. Yeah. Get up and go again. Get up and go again. And you don't do that in your own strength. And the only way you'll do that is by walking with Him. Yeah. And really, it's about this is a walk with Jesus. This is not a walk to where you have to be absolutely perfect at the beginning. That was the problem with the Pharisees. The Pharisees put out this persona of perfection. And I tell you, religion will do that to you. I was brought up under that, where you had to put out this persona of perfection. And when I did actually get saved at 19, I was still dealing with all of that. I'm still trying to be perfect in front of people. Because you don't, you know what, put out your bad side. And you know what, you have to use wisdom in that as well. You don't air your dirty washing and out there for everybody to see. But there's a place where you come to the reality of, I need you every day, God. I'm not going to live like a Pharisee. I'm not going to live like a whitewashed sepulcher. Even though we're saved, we don't have dead man's bones on the inside. We're new creatures on the inside. We've the Holy Ghost on the inside. But you can still paint the outside and make it look like you're something that you're not, as in you're not there yet. Yeah, and what you do when you're like that, you condemn everybody else, because you put yourself out that I'm better than you, and we end up judging ourselves by ourselves, and that's not wise. People are at different levels. Our job is not to look down on people. If you're at a higher level of maturity, your job is not to look down on people. Your job is to help them to maturity. Yeah. It's not to stand here and say, I'm better than you, I'm more holy than you, I go to church more than you, I pray longer than you, and all of those kind of things. It's about loving people and helping people to become more like Jesus. That's to where you are saved on the inside, but you become more Christ-like on the outside. And yet you have to live with the awareness, in life I will never arrive at perfection outwardly, but I live out of my true identity on the inside, that I am in right relationship with God, that I am perfected on the inside, and that Jesus is my righteousness, even if I get it wrong. Yeah. Amen. So it stops me from striving for acceptance with God, because I am accepted in the Beloved. Yeah. But what it does do, it allows me to grow. Yeah. And grace is not a license to sin. Grace gives you the opportunity to grow. Yeah. Amen. Some people think that grace is a license to sin, so it's like a sin now, pray later. That's not grace. That's what the Bible calls lasciviousness. Lasciviousness is where people took the real grace of God and they exchanged it into a license to sin. So I can sin and pray later. That is not grace. True grace teaches you to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, that we may live soberly and godly in this ungodly world. So grace is not a license to sin. Grace gives you room. And when you fall as a believer, you never fall out of the grace of God. You fall in the grace of God. So that the grace of God is able to pick you back up. And so that you can keep growing. Yeah. Amen. As believers, we're meant to grow. Yeah. And the only way you grow is through relationship with God. You know, it's the Word of God. Every Christian should read their Bible. You know, come to church and hear the Bible be taught, because it helps you when you do read it. But the Bible says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word of God, that they may what? Grow thereby. What that means is the Word will cause you to grow.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, with children, like Thomas's young children there beside him this morning. Like, you know, when you have young children, like, that's a grow, they fall.
Yeah.
But you don't say, that's it, you know, them legs don't work, I'm chopping them off. It's not that there's nothing wrong. It's development. Do you understand? And they need to develop. But for you to become strong, what do you need? You need food.
Yeah.
Look, even if an adult, if you starve yourself as an adult, you'll become weak.
Yeah.
You can end up bedridden. Actually, my father passed away during COVID, and one of the things that led to his death was because we weren't able to get into the hospital to see him. The man that went into hospital was not the same man that came out. I know he came out, he passed away. But his body, he went into hospital overweight. Now, I know, I mean, he wasn't like overweight, but he was fond of the biscuits at that time. You know what I mean? He was solid. His mind wasn't 100%, but the rest of his body was in great condition. It was like he passed the MOT when he went in. Do you know what I mean? But he had problems with his mind. But during COVID, there was a lot of things that weren't good during that time period, especially like my dad was dealing with dementia, and he had a condition called Lewy body dementia that caused you to hallucinate. So he's seeing people coming to him every day with masks and visors on. He didn't know what was real and what wasn't real. But when he was with us, we could talk to him. And he was having a great relationship. But when he went into hospital, he ended up in hospital for months. And we couldn't get in to see him and stuff like that. But you know what? They had him in a bed. They had him drowsy. They had him everything. Whereas before, when he went in, he could walk and do everything. But you know what? The man that came out wasn't as well fed as the man who went in. And it's a terrible situation. But I tell you, there's a lot of Christians that the problem is not that they're not saved, it's that they're not allowing growth to come into their life as a believer. And the only way you grow is by the Word of God and relationship with God. And the only one who can reveal the Word of God to you is the Holy Ghost. So you have to have a relationship with God so that God can take this Word and reveal it to your heart. And when this Word comes alive in your heart, what comes is growth. That growth can be very small. Like, I'm saved, you know, 31, be 32 years this year. And I was brought up in Christianity. So I heard scriptures from a child. In a sense, when I got saved, I had a bit of a head start as far as knowledge, because I heard the Word taught and stuff like that. I had seen a lot of Christianity in people's lives. I had a head start in one sense as far as experience. But I'm still growing. I'll be growing for the rest of my days. I can never come to the place of saying, you see, the Bible, I don't need it anymore. I don't need to read anymore. I don't need to study. Because the moment you stop studying and reading and coming to church and all of them kind of things that help your relationship with God, you don't realize it. You end up, you start going backwards. You don't even see it because it's progression. You don't go, it's not like when you get saved, it's instant. But your maturity is not instant. Maturity is progression. And some people want a McDonald's Christianity. You know what I mean? Like fast food. They want instant maturity. But many know that doesn't happen. The only way you grow is by the Word.
Yeah.
That's why the renewing of the mind is key. Amen. You renew your mind, you put the Word of God in bit by bit by bit by bit, and it's like things just start fitting together. And you know what happens is you start growing, you don't even realize it, but you grow. Like my daughter Alexis and Tyler, during COVID, they were writing small, and Jenny had done markings out in the wee room of all of the kids, how high they were just before COVID. When When during that time, different things, lockdowns, different things. But if there's one of the days, Tyler came in there and he stood up against it and he had grew like a head and a half. And when you went and you seen people were going like, I haven't seen you in ages. Look at the size of your kids. But for us, it wasn't look at the size of your kids, even though we know they got bigger because clothes shrunk. You know what I mean? The clothes didn't shrink, they just grew. You don't always see growth. It's not fast. It's progression over a period of time. And many times Christians get discouraged because they're not growing as fast as they should. Or they see other people that are further on or whatever, and they get discouraged and they think there's something wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with you. It just takes time to grow. You know what, like with the children there this morning, like, it takes years for them to grow. You know what, you can't fast track that. And yet some people get discouraged. See, if you don't allow yourself room to grow as a Christian, you'll live frustrated and you'll live in condemnation and you'll beat yourself up every week because you're not where you should be. But just be on that path of growth. When you're walking with God, there's a place of a right evaluation of yourself where you look at yourself and you can see where I'm where I should be. God, there's a right place of that. But some people turn that into a beating session and they beat the brains out of themselves because you're not where you... Look, where I am today, it's took 30 years to get to where I am today in God. That's growth. There's growth to get me there. But it's not me. The only part I have is to apply myself. You grow by the milk of the word into the meat of the word. And even as an adult, don't you still like a glass of milk? You know what? Sometimes things... I've heard people teach on the kids, and it's and I know it's like, right down to milk where kids can understand it. And I'm like... God, I got that this morning. I got that. I got something out of that. That was good. Amen. Amen. There's growth is all I'm saying. You need your daily bread. Amen. You need the word is like meat. The word is like milk. Job said, I've desired your word more than my necessary food. We put the word of God in. Jesus talks about your daily bread. Amen. But all I'm saying is that all talks about growth. That's what it talks about. Now, Peter was a man where you can see growth in his life. You can see a man that's a disaster. He really is. Peter wasn't like someone that was polished. That was a statement that came out in the conference there that it was at. God wants us pliable. He doesn't want us. It's not that he doesn't want us to grow, but God's looking for pliable, not polished. You understand? Yeah. We that he can work with us. Some people are looking for the finished article instead of looking. We don't have it all together. We just need to let God keep working on us. We need to be like the clay on the potter's wheel and just let him keep poking us and molding us and shaping us and, taking out any debris that's in there as it's being spun. And you have to allow God to just keep molding and shaping you. Amen. Amen. Just don't jump off the potter's wheel because I don't like that wee push. I don't like that when that was being dealt with in there. I didn't like that. I didn't like that. I didn't like what was said today. If it's God dealing with you, just let him deal with you. Don't fight God. If he's dealing with areas in your life, let him deal with those areas because he knows what he's looking for. He knows what he's trying to mold you and shape you into. You know what? Where I'm at in my Christian life, I'm at the place of just like in the Welsh revival when Evan Roberts, he prayed, God, bend me. In other words, God, you make me what I need to be. God, you shape me. God, bend me. As in mold and shape me into... Not that I'm coming to you telling you what I want me to be, but I'm coming to you saying, God, have your way in me. I yield to you. I yield my life to you. I want to be who you have called me to be. And whatever molding and shaping I need, Lord, mold and shape me. Bend me into the person that you want me to be. That has to be the cry of all of our hearts. It's a place of yielding. It's a place where you come to God and let God mold and shape your life. And He will. He'll shape you into who He has called you to be. Because you are already His masterpiece. You are already His workmanship created unto good works. God has already put a work in you for something. But you have to let God work on you on the outside and in your mind to mold and shape you into the person that God wants you to be. Amen. Amen. Now, Peter was a man who didn't just follow Jesus the first time he seen him. In John chapter 1, it talks about Andrew, Peter's brother, who came and got Peter and brought him to Jesus. You see, Andrew was one of John the Baptist's disciples. And, you know, he heard John say, you know what, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He had that experience of knowing who the Christ then was. And he stopped following John and he started following Jesus. You see us in John chapter 1. And then he went and got Peter, and he brought Peter to Jesus. But he didn't immediately then follow Jesus, okay? And you know what, I often think of that there, that you know what, just because someone doesn't follow Jesus the first time you introduce them to Jesus, don't get discouraged. Some people try to do the Holy Ghost job. But you know what happened then in John or in Luke chapter 5? What happened was then Jesus came to where Peter was. And he came, and the Bible says that the crowd was pressing on Jesus to hear the word. And so what Jesus done was he stepped into Peter's boat. And he pushed out a bit from the shore. And Peter had been out all night. They had been out all night and caught nothing. Okay? They're disappointed. They're sitting there and they're washing their nets to go again. And they're disappointed. I was out all night catching nothing. And then here comes, you know, this fella Jesus that now my brother Andrew's following. And you know what? And I can see all the people listening to him. And he wants to use my boat. So he lets him use the boat. And so he pushes out a bit from the shore. And he teaches the people. And then when he's finished, he said to Peter, launch out into the deep for a catch of fish. And they're sitting there disappointed, and they're saying, for a catch of fish, let down your nets. He said it in the plural, let down your nets for a catch of fish. And Peter acted on it. Peter said, we've been out all night, we've caught nothing. But he said, nevertheless, at your word, we'll let down a net. Do you know what that means? God will meet you wherever you're at. Like, if you don't believe in healing, but you believe that God can give you peace, you'll experience the peace of God. Yeah. Amen? You know, God will meet you wherever you're at. You understand? Like, there's a lot of good Christians out there who don't believe in this, in the more, you know, like in the baptism and the Holy Ghost. But you know what? They'll enjoy the Holy Ghost as an inward well, but they'll never experience, unless they get on board, they'll never experience that rivers of living water flowing out from them. Yeah. Amen. They'll never experience the power of God. Yeah. But if they make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, they get the Holy Ghost, but they get the Holy Ghost on the inside. They can live with no boldness. You know what? They're not a bold Christian or anything like that. They're more like a shy Christian. And if they put faith in Jesus, they'll go to heaven and get the brains beat out of them from here until they go there. Because they don't believe in the supernatural. They'll struggle through life. They'll suffer through life. Because they don't believe in the power of God. Amen? And God will meet them exactly where they're at. Because they put down a net. Be a Christian that puts down nets. Amen. Don't limit what God can do in your life. Amen. So they did. They went out and they caught the catch of fish. And Jesus said to Peter, he said, follow me after it. And he said, and I will, what did he say? I will what? I will make you. You can't do it apart from him.
Yeah.
I will make you.
Yeah.
What's your job? Follow me. I will make you.
Yeah.
In other words, you come along and you walk with me. I will make you into what you are meant to be. Your job is not to make yourself into it. Your job is to have a relationship with him. As you walk with him, our job as a believer is to walk so close with the Lord. Your life is all about him. The sheep walk with the shepherd. To where you get to know his voice, to where you get to know his heart, to where you walk with him. As you walk with him, he'll minister to you. He will make you, he will shape you, he will mold you. He'll mold you, he'll correct you, he'll do all whatever it needs to get you to be who he has called you to be. What you do, your job is to walk with him. As you walk with him, he'll minister to you as you walk with him. It's just like your children. Anybody ever said, you know what, they're just like you? You know, we were talking to Thomas last week, and the both of us got in the car and said, and we may as well have been talking to his dad, because he's so like him in mannerisms, talk, everything. Do you know why? Because I've seen Thomas with his dad as his dad went preaching when he was a young lad. I remember Thomas as a young lad, and I remember him always by his dad's side. He was always by his dad's side, and that's the same heart is there, the same mannerisms, how he talks. It's there because it's coming from the one that he's walked with. It's a relationship. Some people think it's mechanical. It's not mechanical. As long as you walk with God, you'll keep growing, because Jesus will keep dealing with your heart. Amen?
Yeah.
He'll keep dealing with you.
Yeah.
Follow me, I will make you fishers of men. When you make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, just walk with him.
Yeah.
Let the Holy Spirit deal with you. Let the Holy Spirit minister to your heart. Let him speak to you. Pray.
Yeah.
Do those things that are so simple in the Christian walk, and you'd have the greatest impact. People are looking for all of the big things. In our celebrity Christianity world, some people are looking to be like what they see on YouTube or whatever. I haven't heard last night. There's preachers now, and I heard this before, but the penny dropped with me last night. There are preachers now who don't even study anymore. They don't even spend time with God anymore. Do you know what they do? They go to AI. And AI gives them their sermon. They put in, I'm speaking on such and such. And you know, you can do that on the computer now, and it'll give you all of your points. All of your, everything you need. For any preacher that does that, they're not relying on the Holy Ghost. They're relying on the internet.
Yeah.
To give them their message. You cannot be effective in anything by looking to AI to give you what the Holy Ghost is meant to be given. You walk with the Holy Spirit, who's going to magnify and reveal Jesus to you. That's how you walk with Jesus every day. Amen. It's like praise and worship. Praise God for the guys this morning. Praise God, magnifying Jesus up here. But you know what? Do you know what? For anybody that does praise and worship. Praise and worship isn't about, you know what, you look and you see how, you know, you stand a certain way in this generation. You know what, there's a certain point we all lift. In the church world, in many arenas in the church world today, they just do the same thing as they do on night TV, to where you have people come out and you clap at this point. Everybody clap. It's all rehearsed. Everybody clap now. That's not spontaneous. Do you know what I mean? Do you know why? Because they're not relying on the people and whoever was on the night show, the comedian or whatever, to make people laugh. They're telling them when to laugh. They're telling them when to do things. Let me tell you, in any area of our life, it's about having a relationship with God.
Yeah.
You walk with him. Everyone who praises publicly should be a praiser in private.
Yeah.
Because you can't be a praise. You can put a show on out here, But true worship comes from a relationship with God, to where you worship Him, to where you're in the car and you're driving and you're worshiping and you're walking and you're worshiping Him. You have a relationship with Him. You're walking close with Him.
Yeah.
Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I will say this as well in this situation, because fish represent provision, okay? Because that was their business. But it also represents people. I will make you a fisher of what? Of men. If you want to fish for fish, you fish at night. But if you want to fish for men, you fish in the light. Amen? What that means is you don't have to compromise the gospel to reach anybody. You give people the gospel. Amen? You give people the gospel. Mm-hmm. Now, Peter starts following Jesus. Now, Peter's the most unlikely person you would ever pick. He's the most unlikely leader. He becomes a great leader, Peter. But you would never have picked him. Mm-hmm. Peter was a fisherman. He was an ordinary person. He wasn't one of the guys from the synagogue who looked like there could be something great in the kingdom. Peter was a fisherman, Raw's Ropes fisherman. And I always say, when I think of Peter, I always think of Miranda, because he was a fisherman, called him the captain. You know what, he was wild. I always say he wasn't fit for society. He wasn't fit for town. If he came into town, he looked like a caveman. You know, he didn't look like someone that should have been out around people. He loved nature. He loved being out with a fish. He smelled a fish. He stunk a fish. When he hugged you, all you could smell was fish and eels. You know, his hair was not long, but his hair came to about here. And he used to just go and just get the chip pan oil, and he just used to put it in his hands, and he just used to rub it right back. And it's just raw. He's a raw man. My mom used to buy Marks and Spencer's shirts and all, you know, for his birthday, Christmas. And he just used to put them on and say, "Pat, that's a lovely shirt." And he just used to, with his bare hands, he was as strong as an ox. He just used to rip the sleeves out of his arms and say, "Lovely shirt, Pat." You think it was 5 minutes ago before you got your hands on, kind of a thing. But you know what? He was real. He wasn't polished. He wasn't like, you know, someone that you would think a Christian should be, or, you know, you go to church, someone that's polished or whatever. My mentality, it was one of the things that put me off getting saved over the years, because I thought, I'm not going to be like one of them. There's no way I'm running around, you know. Like, when I was younger, you know, you had a spike. That was it. That was cool. To have a spike or a step. You had your hair shaved right in here, right round and all thick here. And I said, you know, and I thought to myself, I'm not getting a side shade, I want a step. Because every Christian I knew had a side shade. Every Christian I knew was prim and proper. I was one of the lads. And sometimes Christianity can give this image that you have to be a certain thing. Christianity's about your heart. It's having a relationship with God. You can wear all the nice things and look the part, and your heart and your mouth can be a million miles away from God. But you can be someone that's just real before God and saying, "God, I just want you." When Peter experienced Jesus and had an encounter with Jesus, he threw himself at Jesus' feet, kneeled down before him and said, "Depart from what are you? I can't have any dealings with you. I'm a sinful man." That's the very person Jesus came for. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus wasn't looking for someone that thought they had it all together. Jesus was looking for someone who needed him.
Yeah.
Peter was someone who needed Jesus and knew that he needed Jesus. He wasn't putting on a show out here. He was a man that was going to walk close with Jesus. Amen. And he did.
Yeah, amen.
When you look at Peter's life, you see highs and lows. You see ups and downs. You see Peter getting it so right, you see him getting it so wrong. And yet here was the key in Peter's life. He didn't leave Jesus.
Yeah.
He walked with him through the Gospels up until the end, okay, of the Gospels. But he walked with Jesus. You can see the eyes of Peter where he walked on the water. There are awesome experiences that he had. The Mount of Transfiguration, Jairus' daughter, he was there when she was raised from there. When everybody else was put out, Peter, James, and John were there with Jesus. He was part of the feeding of the 5,000. He was part of the feeding of the 7,000. He was part of the ones that went out two by two and done the ministry that time. He was the one who turned around to Jesus and said, when everybody else left, he was the one when Jesus turned around and said, you guys want to go also? He said, where would we go? You have the words of eternal life. Mm-hmm. Peter didn't have it all together, but he knew I needed to be with Jesus.
Yeah, amen.
And that is the keys. See, that's what happens. See, here's a trap of the devil for you to fail in an area and then for him to condemn you so that you stay away from Jesus instead of walking close to him. When you fail, you get up and you say, Jesus, I need you.
Yeah.
I need you. I'm walking closer than I've ever walked before. When you get hurt, what do? You run to Jesus. When someone hurts you, when a Christian hurts you, what do? You run to Jesus. He'll never hurt you. Some people allow things to separate them from God. It's not that you're not saved, but it separates you from growth. It separates you from Him making you into what He has desired for you to be in the kingdom of God and your function in the kingdom of God. You understand? Peter had lows. Just as Billy said earlier, you know, where Jesus turned around and said to him, get thee behind me, Satan. That was after he said something great. Where he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. As a Christian, you can say something great and then something you can say can be absolutely stupid. Huh? You can be praising God 1 minute and shouting at the dog and the wife and the car and everything else the next. And people, then, but what do we do? Is we punish ourselves? Do you want to beat ourselves? No, that's where you get back to the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
That's where you get back to where you realize, Jesus, it's not about my perfection, it's about your perfection. It's not about how good I am, it's about what you've done for me. I'm not going to allow this to cause me to back off. Lord, I thank you for the blood of Jesus. I can come boldly to the throne of grace right now.
Amen.
Even though I've failed, even though I've missed it, because I'm not living based on my works, I'm living based on what you've done for me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. And what happens is you stay in that place where He's making you.
Yeah.
I would have ran away in the first month of being a Christian if it was based on me. Because I don't know how many times I hit the deck. I could go to church and hit the deck while I'm in church. You know what I mean? I could be judging everybody and looking at everything in church, hearing about Jesus, angry at someone, offended with someone in church. I know we all relate. But you know what? Thank God for the blood of Jesus.
Amen. Praise God.
If you're offended, sit in church offended. Amen. Come to church offended. Come to church hurt. Come, I didn't get my bills. Come to church broke. Come to church sick. Come to church whatever way you are. Come and let Him minister to you. Come to church absolutely discouraged. Come to church when you don't feel like coming. Come to church when you wanted to stay in bed and you made yourself go and you feel like a hypocrite sitting there. No, you're being in the place where you're going to grow. Stop listening to the lies of the devil. You know what? There's so many people should be in church this morning, but you know what? They've listened to the lies of the devil. They've allowed their mistakes, their failures to keep them from coming. Instead of realizing when you're hurting, that's where you need to be. You need to be with Jesus. He's the one who heals you. He's the one who heals the brokenhearted. He's the one who strengthens you, comforts you. That's where you need to be. I made a decision at 19 years of age. I don't care how many times I fall, I'm getting back up and I'm going to cling to you, Jesus.
Yeah.
On the inside, He has clung, took a hold of me. I'm not trying to take a hold of Him as in like my salvation. My salvation is based on what He done for me.
Yeah.
I'm taking a hold of Him as in, Lord, I'm not doing one day without you.
Yeah.
I'm not living my life without you. If I fail, I'm running to you. If I miss it, I'm running to you.
Yeah.
I'm not getting off the potter's wheel for anybody. Amen.
Amen.
At the Last Supper, Peter, instead of realizing the environment that he was in, this was all about Jesus, the Last Supper. This was all about what Jesus was about to do. And yet, Jesus came to wash the disciples' feet, and when he got to Peter, what did Peter say? You're not washing my feet. Now, Peter would have had no problem washing Jesus' feet. Yeah. He had a problem with Jesus washing his feet, just like many Christians. Oh, I'd serve you, Lord, I'll serve you. What about when he wants to serve you? I don't mean worship you, I mean serve you, as in to minister to you. Yeah. Jesus is the greatest servant of all. Amen. The problem is we don't let him serve us, minister to us. We want to serve him, I want to serve you, but you'll never serve him with his heart unless you let him serve you. Yeah. Because that's how he transports his heart into you, where he shows you. That's why as he walked with the disciples, he was showing them. At this event, Peter, he couldn't take that. Do you see, if Jesus would have said, Peter, you wash my feet, he would have been down there, he would have been scrubbing, he would have been whatever. But he refused. And Jesus said, if you don't let me wash your feet, you've no part with me. And then Peter, he goes to the ox room, oh, give me a bath. Yeah. And that's the kind of personality Peter had. He was impulsive. He was in and out. He was up and down. Yeah. But what I admire about Peter was he kept going. Yeah. He kept going. He didn't quit. Yeah. When he was hurt, he kept going. When he failed, he kept going. Then he had the audacity to say to Jesus, when Jesus said, you know what, I'm going to die, basically is what he's saying. This is my body which is broken for you. This is my blood that is shed for you. You know what? Jesus letting him know, I'm going to die for you. Peter had the audacity in John chapter 13 to turn around and say, you won't die for me, I'll die for you. Yeah. And then all the other disciples, they said the exact same thing. Oh, we get behind you, Peter. And that was a good intention. We've got good intentions. All of us have good intentions of what we are going to do, but we don't know what we'll do until we're actually in that situation. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus just asked them to pray with him, and they couldn't even stay awake. They fell asleep. Has any of us ever went to prayer and you fell asleep? And you had a good intention, and then what does the devil do? Condemns the life out of you. You're some Christian. I believe God seen your intention and went, you know what, go again. No, but God's not the condemner. Amen. And then when Judas came that time and Jesus let them take him and arrest him, the Bible says when you smite the shepherd, you scatter the sheep, and that's what Jesus was telling them, what would happen. And they were like, oh, look, though all men forsake you, I'll not forsake you. I'll die for you, Jesus. What happened? They all done a runner. They all split everywhere. And the Bible says that Peter, he followed from a distance. And then came to the trial at the Sanhedrin. And then we know the story where he denied Jesus three times with cursing and swearing. Let me tell you, you can curse and swear and get angry and do all of them things, and Jesus will keep on loving you.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. And the Bible says that Peter, he went away from that situation, because when Jesus was there and he seen him face to face after he denied him, boy, his heart broke. Yeah. And he was heartbroken. And he wept, the Bible says, bitterly. I don't know if you've ever felt or you felt like you failed God so bad that you have wept with bitter tears. I have. I sat in a service one day years ago, and I cried that loud in the service because I had failed God. I may have failed God, but he's never failed me. And I may have failed, and I cried with during the whole service, to where the pastor had to come down and sit with me and put his arms around me at the end of the service. My heart was absolutely broken before God. Absolutely broken. I was heartbroken. But I tell you, God hadn't given up on me. And thank God for a pastor who came and put his arm around me and ministered Jesus to me. Didn't minister condemnation, ministered Jesus. Peter was heartbroken, but when Jesus rose from the dead and the angels said to the women, go and tell my disciples, the angel singled out Peter and said, my disciples and Peter. Do you know why? Peter needed to know. Peter needed to know. He needed to know. Amen. And then Jesus showed up in the room, walked, just appeared. The Bible just says he just appeared to his disciples. Amen. And then Peter failed again. The Bible said that Peter said, hey guys, I quit. I'm way back fishing. But you know what? Jesus ministered to him again. And I'm not going to get into that this morning. But you know what? Here's what Jesus done with Peter. He called Peter as a fisherman. Imperfect. Didn't look like a religious man. Religion's the worst thing you can have in you. Sometimes you have to get it out of you. Because religion's all about man's attempt to get to God. It's all about man. Religion is man, 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 man. Christianity is him. Christianity is what he's done for you. Jesus called an imperfect man. And he said, you just walk with me and I'll make you. Yeah. And Peter had some experiences during the Gospels. But you know what? He had that experience in between where Jesus was crucified and then rose again. And Jesus had another encounter with him and said, are you going to follow me to the next level? At that level, Peter has failed. He's just after weeping bitterly and all of those kind of things. He's just after quitting, said, I'm going back fishing. And Jesus said, will you follow me again? You see, that's the key. The key is just stay close to the shepherd. Yeah. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. We walk with the good shepherd. Some people think Christianity is about them. It's about walking with the shepherd. Let him make you. You may go, I'm not there yet. Neither am I. I haven't arrived. Join the queue. Amen. None of us are perfect. Billy's not perfect. I'm not perfect. Don is. But none of us are perfect. None of us have it all together. The key to the Christian walk is, are you going to keep following him?
Yeah.
If you fall, are you going to get up and keep following him? That's the key. Not to go to heaven. Once you receive Jesus, you're going to heaven. This is about walking with him and living a life of victory. Amen. The thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I'm coming that you might have life and life more abundantly. Amen. As you walk with him, he'll make you. When I got saved at 19, the call of God was on my life at 19, but I wasn't ready for what it was God has for me. But you know what? I've walked with him, and he's brought me to that place. But you know what? There's more down there. I'm not ready for it now. But as I walk with him, I'll get there. Amen?
Amen.
Some people are trying to get there and are discouraged because they're not there. Growth and maturity is not overnight. Growth and maturity is walking with him every day. And be content with Jesus every day. Jesus is enough every day. Amen. The devil will try to push you. The Holy Spirit will lead you. There's such a comfort in that. Amen. And you know what? If you're here today and you're discouraged, you feel I have let God down, or you know what, I'm not where I should be, I pray today that you realize that you're never going to be where you should be in that sense. You know what I mean? We're always going to be growing. But be in the place where you say, I'm not running. I'm not running. I don't care what happens, Lord, I'm not running. I'm going to walk with you every day. You're going to be my strength every day. You're going to be my comfort every day. You're going to be my joy every day. You're going to be my peace every day. You're going to mold me. You're going to shape me. Have your way in me. You have that attitude. You have that attitude before God. God, I'm going to be in your word. Holy Spirit, reveal Jesus to me.
Yeah.
Reveal the plan of God for me. I'm going to walk with you every day. You watch what he does for you. You watch where you'll be in 5 years' time, 10 years' time.
Yeah.
What you'll be doing, what you'll have accomplished. When Peter was walking past people and his shadow was healing people, I'm sure he went many a time, "I'm glad I didn't quit. I'm glad, Jesus, you called my name." And I'm telling you, Jesus knows every one of your name.
Amen.
Amen. He knows you by name, every single one of you. And he's not pushing you away. He pulled you in close.
Amen.
And here's my admonition to you today. Let him.
Amen.
Let him.
Yeah.
Don't resist him. Christian walk is about yielding to where you let him. Have your way in me. Amen.
Amen.
Have your way in me, Lord. Praise you, Jesus.